Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Whatever it takes to remember the our website, because I think you'll get some help from it there if you go there and listen to some of the archives of shows that we've done in the past. If you'll just noodle around there on the site, especially if you've got anything in particular in mind, you can find a topic, I think, in our categories of different business disciplines that I think will take you to an article or an archive or a Brain Trust member, where I think you can find some help, and I hope you'll check that out. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there as well. Jack Harbor is our guest. He's one of our top salesmanship experts. He's the president of the Sandler Training Institute, and he's our good friend. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure, as always.
It's good to have you back, as always. Jack, I was telling the audience that your real niche, so to speak, is that you train non-salespeople how to be salespeople. And, you know, over the years, doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs, bakers and who, you know, whatever, people who typically are in sort of the professions, as they say sometimes. Over the years, when you and I were young pups, those folks didn't really have to learn how to sell. They just kind of hung out a shingle, opened a door, and the business came in. But the 21st century has dawned, and actually the end of the 20th century was starting to be like this, but the 21st century for sure is no guarantee. There's no guarantee that those guys are going to make a living just by opening a door, is it?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, several years ago it was even worse than that, Jim. Not only didn't they sell, code of ethics for attorneys, well, I know for accountants, and I think for attorneys, prevented them from selling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They couldn't even advertise, could they?
No. So
Now I wish attorneys didn't advertise.
It's come a full
360 on this. Just kidding. Just kidding, counselors. Just kidding.
So many of the folks who are attorneys never always or accountants or architects, or, you know, you pick any profession where they're very good technically at what they do.
Yeah.
Never had any sales training in order to improve that aspect of their business, and that's one of the hats that they felt they had to wear in order to do what they really loved, which was accounting or architecture or design or whatever it was. So they found themselves a little bit handicapped when it came time to talk about with customers about what it was they were doing.
Well, and see, and not to dwell on the attorneys, but the, you know, in my past profession, I have been part of a team that interviewed law firms that our company was going to hire for various purposes, and we were going to hire the law firm to do a lot of different things for us, and we interviewed four or five different law firms, and even though they didn't advertise, and even though they didn't, you know, knock on our door and say, "Hey, can we do some legal stuff for you?" When we contacted them and said we'd like to consider your company, your firm as a law firm for our business, they had to put on a presentation. They put on a presentation for us and explain the reasons why they or were supposed to explain the reasons why we should do business with them. That was a sales presentation, and you know, some of them knew what they were doing and some of them didn't.
Well, those who did got the title partner and rainmaker.
Yeah.
And those who didn't spent a lot of hours in the office working on cases.
But you got architects too, and obviously architects and accounting firms are a lot more aggressive these days in that area. A lot of different engineers, the engineering firms in your area, you have a lot of engineering firms. How do you help those folks become more successful? How do you help them get more business?
Well, for most of them, now this isn't 100% true, the problem is less tactical. like, how do I talk to folks, than it is fearful of feeling like a salesperson or looking like a salesperson or being too pushy. So much of the time spent with them is to get the, processes that they're not so far out their comfort zone that they'll actually go do them.
How many engineers have said, if I'd wanted to be a salesperson, I wouldn't have become an engineer?
We say that in a class a lot, Jim. We joke, we say, you know, our mothers had higher aspirations for us. They were hoping for engineer or doctor, not salesperson. And that's part of the problem with getting folks comfortable with selling. Their belief system says that this is not as honorable a profession as being an attorney. Mm-hmm. So why should I have to do it? Or, again, you said attorney, but attorneys, accountants, architects.
Dentists? You work with a lot of dentists, too, don't you?
I've had a couple of dentists, not as many as I have had accountants and architects. But even those who aren't professional, Jim, I've got a lot of remodeling companies and home builders. Here are folks whose first love is the tool belt.
Working with their hands, creating things.
They're well down the list on the things they love is going out and trying to compete with other home remodelers for business.
And even if they are competing, in their world, it's more of a bid process, they think, and not so much in the area of convincing customers to do business with you.
Well, you know, you used a key phrase in there. They think.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be a bid process, but if they believe that it does, then they behave differently in front of clients than they might if they were out trying to do negotiated work rather than bid work.
The contractors that I know that are the most successful have a healthy sprinkling of negotiated deals in with their bid work. Nobody gets to do 100% negotiated, but they have a healthy sprinkling of negotiated deals, and it's because they've done such a good job of taking care of their customers that the customers have become comfortable with them, and they say, you know what, I'm going to forego the bidding as long as you can give me we can come to an agreement that to make sure that I get what I pay for.
And it goes, interestingly enough, even further than that, because if I did bid work for you and you refer me to someone else, what are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them that he'll do a bid for you.
Right, right.
If I negotiated with you and they refer me to someone else, they'll say, you know, he prefers to do negotiated work, but he's good, so you should trust him.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to get Jack to open up his book, his magic book of sales training, and talk to us about what he says to these people specifically, these professionals, about how to make sure they get more business and keep their customers. 20 after, stay with us. Here's Robert Cray to take us out. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jack Harbor. He is the founder and the president of the Sandler Training Institute, and which is part of the Sandler organization, right?
Yes, the
Sandler Sales Institute.
Sandler Systems Incorporated.
Yeah, and out of the Washington D.C. area, primarily over in the Montgomery County, Maryland area, hard by to our nation's capital. And why don't you give us your website, Jack?
Website, Jim, is www.dc.sandler.com.
All right. Jack, open up your magic book of sales training and explain to us how you train these professionals, these non-sales professionals, how to be sales professionals.
You know, as I know you know after many years in sales. We won't go into the number, actually.
But, thank you.
There is no magic. The magic is that you're dealing with human beings. And if I had, for example, a doctor as a client, he would recognize instantly in that aspect of his business that every human being he's dealing with is a different person with a different problem, and that he needs to appreciate the fact that they are different and probably believe that their problem is different and more important than other folks he sees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you should be doing when you're trying to sell somebody. You're dealing with human beings. Your first requirement before you make any prescription is to diagnose their problem from their perspective and treat them as if it were almost almost unique. Now, you don't want to say, I've never seen a problem like yours before, sir. But they want to be heard and they want to be understood. And the most important lesson I think that a non-selling professional could learn that'll put most money in their pocket is to keep their mouth shut longer.
Well, do you have to change their attitudes? Are there still some people in the professions who have the attitude, I shouldn't have to be doing this?
Yes, there are. There are.
I shouldn't have to be selling. All I should do is unlock the door.
And it's interesting, the ones with too strong an attitude like that, I never get to see. Mm-hmm. Because they will try all sorts of other stuff in the hopes that their results will be different. You know the definition of insanity.
Oh, yeah. Tell us again.
Doing the same stuff over and over again and expecting the results to be different.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever, I don't know if you've studied a topic called neuro-linguistic programming. But the folks who invented that, one of them was a psychiatrist, and he said that the human being is the only animal he ever studied, which, when they found a way that didn't work, tried it more and harder.
It's like the rule of holes is, don't you?
I don't think so.
When you find yourself in a hole, stop digging.
Oh, yes. I do. I'd forgotten that one.
So you make a good point.
So their hope is that they won't have to go out and do the hard stuff. And mm-hmm. usually when I see them, it's when they have finally decided that if they want to stay in business and be as successful as they know they should be, then they say, all right, I'm going to break down and see whether or not Hauber has anything that isn't too distasteful to me.
Do you think, Jack, that dentists and lawyers and accountants, well, maybe not accountants probably so much, but certainly some of the professions, do you think that some of them have a hard time seeing the people in front of them as customers? I mean, you know, if they call them clients, if they call them patients, if they don't think of them, to me, it seems to me that the problem would be that they don't think of them as a customer the way you and I think of our customers.
You know, I think that's probably, I think to some degree that's true. And it's interesting you set accountants aside because I changed accountants about 5 years ago because the one I had didn't think of me as a customer.
Mm-hmm.
I was never communicated with between tax due dates.
Right.
And the price went up out of the blue. You know, I don't mind paying more money. As a matter of fact, when I switched, I ended up paying more.
Yeah.
But
so it wasn't about money. It was about getting value, wasn't it?
It was. Well, again, and value is in the eye of the beholder. In my case, value was to feel appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But value really is in the eye of the beholder, and your job, if you treat them as customers, is to make sure you understand their definition of it and they understand that you can or can't deliver it.
Isn't everybody who lays their money down these days more demanding of that than they ever have been?
Well, I think so. I absolutely agree with you. And the times they are a-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And what worked 20 years ago, as you started this segment out, won't work today.
Right.
We're a different society. And
well, we got all these new generations coming along, and they've got their own ideas about how things ought to be.
And I don't know a way to slow that down.
Yeah, yeah.
Darn.
Me either. Hey, Jack, give us your website one more time.
It's www.dc.sandler.com.
Thank you, Jack, for being here.
I appreciate it, Jim.
You're always, always welcome on this show. We appreciate your time. Looking forward to next time.
Thank you.
Jack Hauber, ladies and gentlemen, with the Sandler Training Institute. Check him out or anybody who's in that business. It's a good organization. Got to take a quick break. Right back with Dr. Bob Arnott. We're going to try to prevent some heart attacks when we come back right after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
You have to go on and do it all day.
In
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.